Welcome to the Hype Leadership Podcast. David and Lindsay Curry are dynamic entrepreneurs focused in high-performance leadership and coaching in sales and service. Through the Hype Leadership Podcast, David and Lindsay strive to serve in your journey towards a high-performance life. And now, here are your hosts, David and Lindsay Curry.
Welcome to Hype Leadership Podcast. I'm Lindsay Curry, and this is my co-host, David Curry. We are super excited to have Cordon Cassidy with us today. Cordon is one of the founding members of Orca Life. He has been an asset to our business, opening and growing new territories. His agency has produced over $12.7 million and protected over 17,782 beneficiaries. Holy smokes, that is a lot. Cordon always puts others before himself, and he leads with others in mind. But before we dive into that, we have a quote of the day from Winston Churchill. Plans are of little importance, but planning is essential. And Cordon, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's crazy hearing those numbers out loud. I knew about, you know, well, obviously the millions in production, I've known about that, but the 17,000, what was that, 17,600?
17,782.
That is crazy.
Isn't it crazy to think about that?
It is. I mean, that's probably less than a year away from helping over 20,000 people, which is, it's just nuts to think of. It's crazy because, you know, in the day-to-days of this business, you don't really necessarily always remember the people that you're affecting along the way. And that's just not even the people we work with that, you know, the 50 to 100 different agents that we've helped over the years better their lives. But it's all the people we've helped along the way. It's just nice little reminder.
Well, I know, Cordon, having you on here, I think about the starting days, probably 10 or so years ago. So I think about riding in the car together and to look at that number, it's phenomenal because like you said, you're not always looking at that day to day and you're like, wow, I mean, you've really been able to affect a lot of people's lives in your team. So,
yeah. It's amazing to hear. But thanks again for having me. Really appreciate it being on here today and look forward to bringing some information.
It should be fun, right? Exactly. You know, I think as Lindsay talks there, I think about we've got to get you one of those McDonald's Golden Arch counters that serve so many millions served. You know,
I do have my Orca Life Hall of Fame Award hanging up in the living room of my house. So, you know, there is that. That's like the golden arches to me.
You know, we don't do it a whole lot. We don't look backwards or in our rear views a whole lot, but it's, you know, sometimes it's great to look back and see at how far we've come, you know, and listening to Lindsay talk and title, you know, one of the founding members and one of the guys that's been here with us from the day that we started in the business, as I was thinking about that coming into the call, you know, you were actually the second person to put your faith and trust in whatever dream it was that we were selling back then. And knowing me and you and our relationship, there's no telling what I was selling back then. It's got a little more realistic nowadays, I think, than what we were painting. But it's awesome, man. And, you know, I just wanted to thank you, I guess, for that. You know, when I think about, I'm glad and lucky and probably fortunate that you knew Lindsay as well and not just knew me for who I was, but you put a lot of faith and trust in Lindsay. And it's wild to think that 10 years later, you know, we're going on 20,000 folks served through our relationship. And I just want to thank you for that. Thank you for the commitment. Thank you for the hard work and the hours and the craziness, because we've been through a lot. You know, we one thing we always say is you put your game plan in place, you go execute it, then you figure out that it's not perfect, you adapt, you change, and then you commit and you reshoot. So
it may have been some crazy ideas that you painted the picture for me on. And maybe we don't sell that to new agents today, but I think most of them came true. So you may have painted a big picture for me, and it may be something that I'd be a little hesitant to paint to a new agent today just because it was a big promise. But I would say you've delivered so far. And as we get further into how my life has changed through Orca, you know, that will be something that we'll touch on. But a lot of those promises that were made to me at your all's kitchen room table with Trey Simmons, Kevin Glasscock, Glenn Crabtree, and myself, it's just cool to see that we've gone from your all's kitchen table to now having a home office with, you know, what, 10 plus employees working out of it every single day, and then branches in what, 8 different states at this point, so maybe more than that. It just keeps growing. So I know we've gotten 3 under our belts alone. So it even though it may seem like a big promise at the time, I would say most of it's came true. So that part you've delivered on for me. So no gripes from my end.
I love it. So Corden, as we're talking here, talk to us a little bit about your journey before Orca. What were you doing before you got into the insurance business?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to start it a little bit further back just to kind of tell a little bit of my childhood and where I came from, just because I think that kind of helps to paint the picture of who I became. But I just grew up from a single household family, single income household family, where only my dad was really the one working. My mom had a couple odd jobs from here there, but most of the time she was a stay-at-home mom. And the only reason I bring that story up is because I was fortunate enough to somehow go to private grade school. I went to St. X in Louisville, which is one of the, you know, more well-known high schools, but also one of the more expensive high schools. And for my dad working a simple telephone job, which it's different than what it means today. Back whenever he was a telephone man, you didn't work at selling cell phones. Instead, the telephone man actually ran wires to your house for your telephone to work. So, you know, he did that my entire life growing up. And that's just a simple hourly paying job. But working 60 to 80 hours a week, and then 35% of that income going towards our education, which is something crazy. You know, we didn't always have the fanciest cars growing up. We had a decent roof over our head. I never wanted for anything, but like they could have been buying a $20,000, $30,000 car every single year. But instead, they're paying that in education fees. So especially when we got to high school, it wasn't always that much in grade school, but when we got to high school, it became that. So from a very young age, just seeing dad always put us first is kind of what I've always kind of gotten that mindset of like, yeah, you got to go out and work out for your first 40 hours. And that's great because that's what you need to provide for your family. But he always preached the importance of the next 20 hours, that overtime, that time and a half. And, you know, just to kind of put it to what we do nowadays, when you're out there in the field and you're producing and you're having a great week, that overtime is really where you make your money. It's where you separate yourself and it's where you can change your family's life. So I just want to shed a light on, you know, the growing up side of it, because coming from that single household income family and seeing my dad make those sacrifices every single week helped to just kind of shape who I became as a person. Then I ended up going to St. X, which is a private grade school, which where I grew up in Louisville is about 35 minutes away. And I passed about 15 high schools to drive there every day. So it really didn't make sense to send me out that way. But that was always my mother's dream, was to send her kids to the most prominent high school in Louisville. So after discussions with her, I decided that's where I wanted to go. And we ended up going to St. X. And to this day, it's the best decision I ever made. It was weird because I didn't really move to a new city, but you might as well have, because I didn't know one person outside of maybe some very loose, like my sister's friends that she went to grade school with a couple years older than me. But in a 1600, you know, boy, all boy high school, knowing 2 or 3 people 2 to 3 years older really isn't much. So not knowing anyone and having that fresh start for me was kind of fun, because I had developed a little bit of a reputation as a class clown through grade school, and that kind of preceded me from year to year. And as I wanted to get older and mature, unfortunately, if there was a 50-50 chance of it was me or someone else, I was always blamed, and rightfully so. I was always the class clown growing up. So that new opportunity to go and start something new at St. X was just, it was an amazing opportunity to have. I received a great education there, but then most importantly, made a lot of relationships there with some friends that I now consider family. And every job that I've ever worked in some way has came from a connection from St. X. Whether it was a friend I met through St. X who referenced me to a friend, whether it was even Dave Curry eventually one day worked being my boss at the golf course, who was a St. X guy that I did not even know from St. X, but just that camaraderie that going to a school like that brings, it was just amazing. So to go on from St. X into college, I wasn't necessarily the best student in college. So about 4 years in, I was on a semester making grades and then off a semester making the money to pay for school to get back into it. And through that, I'd kind of burnt myself out. It'd been 5 years. I only needed 18 hours left to graduate, but it was going to take me at least another 2 to 3 years at the pace I was going of one semester on, one semester off. And that's where I was working with Dave at the golf course. And Lindsay, I'd known you from grade school way beforehand, and you were working at the golf course and at the time, and then you decided to go and start working for Uncle Glenn. And that's where I heard this opportunity. And after seeing your success for 3 or 4 months, decided to follow you into this career path. And 6 months later, I was like, there's no way I'm going back to school. That's a waste of money. It's a waste of my time. And I have an opportunity here in front of me to be on the ground floor of something that I've always wanted to do. I always wanted to open up a business. I always wanted to be on the ground floor of something. And I didn't know I wanted to be in sales, but.
Well, and I love that, because when you talk about overtime and you talk about the extra time that we're encouraging folks, hey, you know, don't cut it short Wednesday evening at 4 o'clock, like go knock on an extra two doors, really kick into the overtime and watch the results come. I mean, and I loved how you kind of tied that into, hey, and it's also about networking, right? Because someone, you never know when you're going to cross paths again, right? And what that person, that connection might be able to provide for you later on, right?
The networking, and also kind of at a young age, I learned how important your reputation is. Because like I said, I remember really going to sixth grade, and you went to our grade school. It was very tiny, classroom sizes of 15 or less people. So every teacher knows who you are from first grade all the way up. But in my brain, I was going to sixth grade, so it was going to be different. And I was going to change, and I was going to be better. And I didn't want to necessarily always be the troublemaker. But again, the reputation precedes you, and then anything that kind of happens, you don't get the benefit of the doubt. So through learning that valuable life experience at a young age, and then having to learn how to network and be put in a position where you don't know anybody, it just really helped to, I guess, put you in a position to where you treat everybody with respect, because you never know when that's going to come back around. So that reputation side of things, but then also to make sure that you're constantly shaking those hands and creating new friends, because you never know who can help you out in the future. I call it selfish selflessness, which is where you do things for others, and you just do it so many times that eventually stuff starts coming back to you.
Yeah, I love that. I know we've said that a lot. It's been a while since I've heard that. The selfish selflessness. Beautiful thing to change your perspective on, really tapping into working for others. You know, you guys have been a big part of that. And what I would just say is, what you just touched on is a culmination of all the small things, and you hear it from so many different avenues, so many different outlets. It's the small things that add up to the bigger picture. And it's these little bitty things that turn into, you know, the overall dream. It's one day at a time that makes the lifetime that you've looked for. And the other thing I would just say that you kind of hit on there is, like, well, I was going to be better tomorrow. You know, I was going to do something different in sixth grade, or I was going to do something different when I got to high school, or, oh, I got to, you know, I was, and you know what finally happened for you is you finally said, you know what? Yes, I'm right here at the end of my college career, and I'm this close to achieving this goal that I've, but this goal is not taking me anywhere. And I've pushed so many, finally going to say today is my day, and I'm going to do something. And I love that. You know, there is so much about that, and it ties into what we're talking about today, right? The reason why we kind of looked at this quote of plans are of little importance, but planning is essential, is because so many times planning has slowed me down, number one, and hindered me from acting on whatever it is that's in front of me. And it's the action that actually makes the change. It's the plans. Yes, plans are great, but without action, they mean nothing, right? And I know that's important to you. You know, Corden and I have a friendship that now is 12 plus years strong, working hand in hand together. So like you said, those relationships that have become family, you and I have that brotherly relationship. So I can somewhat say the plan is important to Mr. Cassidy here. But what I've also learned is plans are not always going to come to fruition, and you will have to adapt. Like we've said, that motto of plan, execute, adapt, plan, execute, that is the cycle. So I love that. And your perspective, Corden, the quote of plan, what has that meant to you? What when we set that out to you as today's kind of call theme, what spoke to you from that Churchill quote?
Well, yeah, I mean, like I think, you know, Dave, naturally when you came in, you were someone who is, you are like-minded when it comes to plans, but we are surrounded by a bunch of salespeople who technically don't like to plan anything. So my business partner, best friend, and, you know, roommate for almost a decade, Pat Holder, he's the guy who always wants to do, and I'm the guy who always wants to plan. Both of those things are great, but both of those things have their drawbacks. And one of my biggest things is I don't want to execute until the plan is perfect. Well, plans are never perfect. And if they are, you know, like Mike Tyson says, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face. So no matter how perfect your plan is, it's going to change whenever life happens. But what I have realized is that when I do plan, for instance, something as simple as sitting down at the end of the day and journaling what you did for the day and then journaling what you're going to do the next day, something small like that just makes your whole world calmer. It doesn't even do anything for you, but the plans themselves just give you a little bit more calmness or stillness around you. We know that life's going to life. We know that life's going to get in the way. Things are going to happen on your day to day. But if you actually have a plan of attack, it gives you more freedom to take those things on. In my head, in the beginning, I can't execute the plan until the plan is perfect. Well, that wasn't the case. The plan just needs to be the plan, and then you start executing. If it does change, that's okay. But the idea of just putting something out there will give you, at least in my opinion, it gives you a calmness to going about whatever the task may be. Because there's nothing worse, in my opinion, than getting hit in the face and having to say, I don't know, to something. It makes me feel dumb, makes me feel underprepared, and it makes me lash out in a way that makes me attack the person who's just trying to get help. But realistically, it's just me not being prepared. So I think planning is important because it'll give you that calmness in those moments. But also understanding planning is just, like you're saying, it's step one. Step two is actually the action. So the plan is great, but you have to actually start to implement it. And don't sit around until the plan becomes perfect. You know, it's kind of like that 80-20% rule where if someone can do 80% of it the way you can do it, you should pass it off to them. Well, I think if a plan's about 80% effective, that's about good enough just to go ahead and roll it out. Sitting around and waiting for it to be perfect, that's just never going to happen. So that's the biggest growth on planning that has changed my life, is that it doesn't have to be perfect. I think it is important to plan. However, that's just going to give you the calmness to handle the distractions that will come along the way.
Well, in you sitting down and writing down in the evening or early in the morning, like, you're setting your intentions of what you're going to focus on, right? Which is, so I know me personally, I do it every morning. And sometimes if there's so many things scrolling through my brain at night, it's like, I got to write this down or I'm going to forget, right? Because your head hits the pillow and then it's like all these tabs open up, right, in your mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, Corden. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I've got to write these things down. So then your intention is, okay, these are the things that I'm going to focus on today to move the business forward, right? And you know, as an entrepreneur, the mind is constantly going. And so to have that list of a plan to attack. Now, you might have to pivot, but you at least know what you're going to focus on. So...
And I've noticed too, when you do those like journaling and whatnot, what you may feel like is a lot to do, you can put it down to like, oh, those are just three tasks. Now, one task you might have to go super deep on, but it feels like you have 50 things to do, but sometimes it's just one thing that you just need to go really deep on. So maybe block off 2 hours of your time for that, but everything else, it's not as bad. But whenever you're not organized or you're not planning it out, that's where it just feels like you have so much more. I remember early on having conversations with Dave when he'd come down here to visit us when we were opening a new territory in Arkansas. And he's like, I'm like, I'm just busy. He's like, well, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just busy. I don't know. I'm just working from sunup to sundown. If it ain't this, it's that, it's that, it's this. It's different every day. I'm just busy. And a lot of that was coming from things of just not planning. Because a lot of times you take a phone call that'll send you on a 15-minute random task. Well, you would never have taken that phone call if you had planned your time differently at that moment. Now, granted, if it's a 911 call, you do need to take that at that moment. It doesn't matter how good you plan, you need to take those phone calls. But a lot of times when we don't have plans, like Grant Cardone says, white space on the calendar shows up, and that's where you find the devil. He's going to take away your time. Things are going to pop up. There went another day, there went another day, there went another week, there went a quarter, there went a year. What just happened? And that's what'll happen when you don't have the plan. So I think they're important to start it, but what, you know, I agree with Dave. Me and him definitely have worked on this over the years, and I'm still working on this to this day, is just implementing it and getting started. And that's where my business partner, Pat, always kicks me in my butt, because when I'm ready to roll it out, he's already been rolling it out for a week. So
that's right.
Yes. Yes. So let me ask you this. So as far in what year was that when you decided that you and Patrick were going to open up a new territory? What year was that?
That was 2018.
All right. 2018. Mm-hmm. You started with Orca. Is it 2015? Is that correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Corden, again, one of the founding members of Orca Life, has grown a large team, him and Patrick have. So what have been, share with some folks some of the rewards of growing a team and leading agents, and then maybe some of the challenges, because I would say probably packing up and moving halfway across the country, again, right, introducing yourself to people in a new area, that can be a challenge.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that was, I would say that was something that I never thought I would do. I never had intentions of moving out of Louisville. The big shift for me in high school and meeting a bunch of new people was good enough for me. I honestly thought that I didn't need to go anywhere else. Louisville was always one of those cities that has the big city feel, so you can get anything you need, but still everybody knows everybody in a weird way. And I really enjoyed that. So I never really had intentions of moving. Now, that being said, with this opportunity here, Pat, my business partner, like I said, he always is ready just to go, go, go. We get pulled into a random meeting on a Friday, and by the end of that 1 hour meeting, he's like, I'm moving to Arkansas in 8 weeks. I'm like, whoa, okay. I might be able to go with you, but I'm going to need at least a couple months to get my affairs in order. I can't just go right now like that. So for me, it took me a little bit longer. We did just hire 3 people within those 8 weeks that he was leaving that were coming on. I felt it was my duty and obligation to make sure that those people at least knew how to do the business day to day and not leave that responsibility for people behind us to pick up on, but then also owing it to those people to make sure that they were successful rather than just leaving them and starting something new. So that plus I think I used that a little bit as an excuse just to drag my feet until my plan was perfect. Let's be honest, that probably had something to do with it as well. So
yeah, you know, just to point out, yes, Patrick did move in 2017. And yes, you did hear Corden say it was 2018.
Yes, he moved in June or July, and I moved in like May. It was almost a year later.
But no, you're right. And you touched on a great point, you know, that is at our core here at Hype and at Orca, and that's, when we bring somebody into this business, their success matters more to us than our own does, right? The same thing that you mentioned earlier of the selflessness, you know. So, you know, you shed some light on where we were back then, you know, as I remember really the workload that Lindsay and I took on once you left, you know, with that team of folks. So there was a lot of moving parts. And just to put context, I don't know if we said it earlier. So, Corden, you are in the Northwest Arkansas region. Have we touched on that at all yet? Right?
We have not touched on it yet. No, I moved to Arkansas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Patrick is now in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. And we now have a nice nucleus of leadership out of the Dallas, Texas region. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, 2017, that move all started with Little Rock. You know, we thought Little Rock was where we were going to land, and we found out there was very little in Little Rock. There was not a whole lot of what we wanted out there in Little Rock. So now we shifted. Maybe when you moved out, did you ever live in Little Rock?
No. So when Pat moved out here, what I did do is every 8 weeks, I would spend 2 weeks here. So I'd spend 6 weeks with the Kentucky team. I'd come spend a week with Pat, stay the weekend at his house, and then go back on the road with him again the following week and then head home. So I would do 2 weeks on, 6 weeks off, just to help transfer some of that culture and leadership, because it's hard to do all by yourself, and Pat was down here by himself. So me just coming in, edifying him, telling them how great of a leader he is, to kind of give them some belief, and hearing it from somebody besides Pat, and then just coming down to kind of also train and show him a different style. So I did that for 8 months. And then when I moved down, we did decide that our territory was best served in southern Missouri and eastern Oklahoma and northern Arkansas. There was just more territory. It gets kind of swampy when you move to the south end, south part of Arkansas, and then northern Louisiana, and it's just, it's more marshy, and there's not as, it's not the best place to necessarily work. Whereas we just had a better open population up here. So we decided to move up to Northwest Arkansas, where me and him lived for 2 years, 3 years. And then he decided to move to OKC. And like you said, we've now grown to Dallas and even some smaller territories. We got someone out of Tulsa and a couple people out of Wichita Falls, Texas. So we're actually up to five cities now that we host. And if you want to throw Fort Smith, which is about an hour south of me in there, six different cities that we have agents working out of, but three main hubs: Northwest Arkansas, Central Oklahoma, and North Texas.
Well, and from that one decision that you all decided to make, I mean, you've opened up so many new territories and new cities for other agents. So, you know, when you think about putting others first, even though it was uncomfortable, right? And the plan was like, I don't really have a plan, but I got to figure something out. I mean, that's phenomenal. I mean, it really is. And you've really helped grow the agency and continue to put others first. So just wanted to kind of point that out, because that one decision, you know, you're one decision away from, and you don't know what's on the other side, right? And it's really scary, but look what has happened over that time that you've moved out there.
Yeah, 100%. I'm sorry, Dave. I had an uncle also who'd moved a couple of times for work, been promoted with Ford several times, and then got a job with Toyota. And he had to move his family around six or seven times. And I had about an hour long conversation with him about it. He told me, because I am single and I don't have any kids, I wasn't in a serious relationship at the time. He's like, you should just go ahead and go now. You have the time. You have the freedom. Worst case scenario, you don't like it. Now you sign a year lease, you just come back. But you should go and you should experience it. And I think that was one of the best decisions I ever made, was moving out this way.
Yeah. So I love, I love the irony of today's quote, right? Plans, little importance, planning essential. But as you hear us talk, you know, the pivotal moments that have impacted you in your life, and I know impacted me and Lindsay, have all revolved around the action. And when we finally said, it's time to go, it's time to step forward. I remember it was a planning session, as we sat down and really started to develop Orca with a business mentor of ours. And he always said, I'm trying to think of the exact quote. It was like, 100% of the imperfect plans will always outperform waiting on the perfect plan. And, you know, there's so much truth to that. So just so we can just continue to reiterate what really makes those changes. Those are the things we've learned, you know, those are things we've learned. And clearly, as we talked earlier, 20,000 families have been impacted because of that one decision, you know, that one decision that you made, has affected 20,000 families, and those are our clients. God forbid we go as deep as the beneficiaries who get to take advantage of what it is that we do for those folks in the home, right? Like, that ripple effect goes a long way, and that's the power of the business. And, you know, as we think about the power of our business, you know, Corden, I know I wanted to touch on this stuff a little bit with you, just because you and I have had a relationship from, what were you, 20, 19, 20, 21?
It was 20 whenever you all came in at the pro shop.
When we met, 20 mm-hmm. years old. And mm-hmm. Now we're into those threes.
Yeah. I'm 34.
Maybe a gray hair.
Just for me.
You're like me. That's right.
29 and holding.
So for somebody that's kind of on the outside in, being in a sales career, right? I love saying, like, our success, it lies on our shoulders. That's a bigger responsibility than somebody that goes and clocks in every day. You know, everybody loves to look at and say, man, you got so much freedom. You get to do what you want. You don't have this 9-to-5. Yes. And yes, it comes with a lot of weight, comes with a lot of responsibility, You were 22 years old, 23 years old, whatever it was, when you got into our business. Thank God I did not get into this business at 23. May not be sitting here today. But talk to us just about how the business has impacted you. Like, what are some of these lessons of leadership, leading your own life? How has that played a part in where you're at today?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've touched on a little bit, so I'll start there. Just the idea of moving. I never thought that I would move out of the city of Louisville. And just that alone has impacted my life a lot, because sure, it's one thing to move out on your own and live by yourself, but when you move to a city where you don't know anybody and your car breaks down, you can't call a friend or your parents. You can't call your brother or your sister. You know, if your car breaks down, you need to find a mechanic. You don't have the guy down the road. You have to ask random people, strangers, your Uber driver, who they use, things like that. So the growth that I've made as a human, just like going to a whole new territory, making new friends, you know, learning how to basically start a life from scratch has been a pretty cool thing that I don't think I ever would have done without this career. So we were kind of already touching up on moving, so I would just highlight that. That was one thing that was really neat. You
getting
know,
I'm comfortable with the uncomfortable, right?
Yeah. You know, there was this book, I think it was Maria Florio or something like that. I'm butchering it, but it's Everything is Figureoutable was the name of the book. And I remember it was just I heard a podcast and she was on it with someone else that I liked. She was talking about that book and I listened to that book. And I think it's designed for the women's point of view, but it was just a really, really cool book. And the fact that like,
we're back,
the internet, buddy. It was a good one. Well, that was it just that book being Everything is Figureoutable. What I was saying is the mother actually went and repaired a radio and had no knowledge of how to do that. And it was a life lesson to her daughter. Just everything can be figured out if you just apply enough effort towards it. And mm-hmm. The growth down here to figure out a lot of different things about just life and starting from scratch and the little things you just don't think of, like where you're going to go to get your hair cut, which obviously I haven't been in a while, but you know, it's
gave up on that one.
Yeah. But you got to find everything new. And you don't even think about all of those little things that go in with it, not just like where you're going to live, but like every little thing to it. And then just balancing that with traveling back to see family. So that was just something that helped me grow as a human a lot in this business. Obviously the money's been well, I won't touch too much on that. Just everything you've told me in the beginning that would come true has came true. I always hated working at the golf course, not underneath you all, but when I was underneath the previous regiment and I worked outside, you'd work outside with people who were getting paid the $7.25 you were getting paid. And I think it was $6.55 at the time. I don't know. Wasn't a lot. $6.57 an hour. And they're each getting paid $7 an hour, but I grabbed 5 bags. I've cleaned 4 bags and I've gotten 6 carts. This guy's gotten 1 bag and 1 cart. I'm like, this ain't fair. This ain't fair. We're making the same. We're splitting our tips at the end of the day. This is ridiculous. So I never enjoyed working jobs where everybody got paid the same. I like, you know, be who you can afford to be, pay me for, you know, the results, not the process. I'm all about that because I will get it done if I need to get it done. And I've just always enjoyed that mindset. And I think that's why even whenever I was still working at the golf course with you all in the mornings, I started serving tables in the evening. Cause if you were the best server, you got put in the best section. If you were a great server, you got a better tip. It's a very low form of commission sales. I always tell people we're hiring. Well, you do work commission sales if you're a server. It's just the lowest form because technically 10 to 15% built in and you're only going to get an extra 2 to 10% on top of it usually. So, but it is commission sales nonetheless, and you're being paid what you're worth. And if you show up and bust your tail, you get paid more. So I've always enjoyed the money aspect of this and being able to kind of make whatever you want to make and there's no cap to it. Travel has been great. I've been able to go to 5-star resorts that I would never take myself to. You know, these companies love to take you on some really nice places to reward you for your hard work for the year. And between the Caribbean and Mexico, we've been to several places, but I've also been on 3 different continents because of this job now. South America, Europe, and North America, they've taken me to all 3 of those places. So just pretty cool to see that part of it. But answer all those things because that's more so, I think, monetary stuff. I think the biggest thing that I've gotten from this business is the fulfillment of being able to bring in friends or people I don't know who then become friends, but eventually become family and watching their lives change. There is nothing cooler than sitting down with a single mother who might be struggling to cover her bills and tell her, well, I can teach you how to make six figures in the next 2 years. And her eyes light up because no one's ever given her that promise before. Sitting down with one of your college buddies who's working 60 hours a week and making, $30,000 to $40,000 and be like, we can double that this year. And you can be off every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Well, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in your first year. Maybe Thursdays if you work towards it. But these type of things, and then to actually see it come to fruition, mm-hmm. There's nothing cooler. One of my best childhood friends, I hired him right out of college after doing this job for 3 years. He moved down to Arkansas with us. And the day that he hit six figures in his savings account was one of the coolest things that I've ever, better than anything I've ever done in my life. He comes from a family that was even worse off, a lot worse off than mine ever was. And just to see that type of transformation in his life, I think that is the coolest thing about our job. And tomorrow I can meet some random stranger on the street. And then in 6 months, just the amount of love and respect amongst me and that random stranger and the things that you can see and the change in their lives, that is what I think I'm addicted to the most in this business. Mm. I love helping out the families that we serve. I love making the money that we make, but watching, hiring somebody and watching them change their life and their family's lives is just, I think it's the most rewarding thing and fulfillment of this business.
1,000%. You love being a part of the transformation that you're witnessing before your eyes, right? Mm-hmm. And that is something, I love to see. I love to see, like you said, like brand new individuals come in here and Jorts, who you're referring to. I mean, and to see him grow. I mean, there's nothing mm-hmm. more rewarding. There's nothing more rewarding because that is a huge accomplishment because so many people work their entire lives and never get a raise or never get to promote themselves. Right. And but you've always looked for opportunities, Corden, where you're going to get paid more than what you're putting in. Right.
Absolutely.
Like, hey, I'm going to get the results because I'm working harder. Just like when you talked about the golf course. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm working much harder than Johnny right here, who's only mm-hmm. cleaned one bag.
That's right. That's right. We're making the same and splitting tips.
Maybe his name was John. I know that. I don't know. I can't remember.
But no, that's when you take a 15-minute bathroom break.
Selfish, selflessness, right? And it's kind of a mind shift. I mean, because I think most of America works against that. And it's all about what can I do and how can I make it and what am I going to have to do to separate myself or I've got a scrape and claw. It's I. And us in our business, I know we really talk a lot about eliminating the I's and the my's. And it's about us, number one, as a team. And the other, it's about you, not me. And you've lived that out, man. You've lived that out.
Sorry about that real quick, Dave. I've gotten into the habit in the last couple of years of saying we so often and eliminating the word I. That the other day I was flying and I was running late for one of my flights. And I go up to the ticket counter and I'm telling the lady, and she's like, how many is part of your party? And I was like, we just have one. And she's like, we just have one? And I was like, I'm sorry. I. She's like, are you traveling with somebody? I'm like, I just.
Like, how much have you had to drink today, sir?
But it's sober. It's just, I catch myself all the time. I'll make a joke about it. It's like, I don't have anything in my pocket. But I've gotten so used to saying we about everything. And then having roommates for so long that I have to catch myself sometimes and actually say hi.
I love it. So Corden, how can folks, if someone would like to reach out to you in any of those territories, how can folks get in contact with you? What's your email?
Yeah. The best way would be to email me. It's Corden Cassidy. It's my name. CordonCassidy at orca.life. That would be the best way. But honestly, you could call me, you could text me. My phone's always open. My phone number's 502-593-0664. So if you're looking to, better yourself or join up with us, if you're out of Arkansas, Oklahoma, Southern Kansas, North Texas, we'd love to have you be a part of this organization.
Excellent.
Yep. So would we. No, it's beautiful, man. Had a lot of fun. I love you, Sharon. Where you've come from, where we're at today, and what that impact looks like, and it spreads wide, right? 20 plus thousand families, and yours has gone along with it. just like ours. So
absolutely. And I would be remiss if I didn't say thank you to you guys, because you all have changed my life. Like I said to you earlier, Dave, I know you said you made a bunch of crazy promises that you wouldn't make to a new agent today, but everything that you've ever told me about this business and everything that y'all have ever done as far as business decisions, I do believe has been in the best interest of me and all my business associates down here. And you always are thinking of us first. I think the selflessness comes from you guys. So I just want to say thank you again, because you all have helped change my life in many, many ways. So I would just be remiss if I didn't say thanks to you guys.
Thank you. And I think I would still make those same promises. I just know now there's the secret lies in within. And it depends on who we're making those promises to. So yeah, like you said, if you're the right person and you feel something bigger inside of yourself than what you're getting now, we're the people that you want to get in touch with. Do that with Corden, myself, Lindsay, however you need to. If you're the right person, you'll figure out how to do that.
Absolutely. All right. Again, thank you so much, Corden. And thank you to our listeners today. And we will see you next week.
David and Lindsay Curry are focused on high-performance coaching and sales and service. Reach out today at 502-314-2789 or visit hype.financial, that's hype.financial, to learn more. Thanks for listening to the Hype Leadership Podcast.